Welcome to the Sportscast, April 8th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. Visit us on thesportscast.net. And also, you could go and get the app for iOS, the Sportscast. Well, this is our episode number two of soccer this week. The Sportscast, we covered three main sports, football, basketball, and the beautiful game of football. And today we have a guest that I've been wanting to get for months and months. Finally, I was able to get him, squeeze him in. Francisco Flores, formerly from On the Counter. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going? It's been a while. If I'm a stumble my words a little bit, I'm a little rusty. So, I mean, I was already doing that regardless. So,
like we'll Gareth Bale?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Gareth Bale. Put me in the 90th minute, coach. That's me.
So, Francisco, tell us, what have you been up to these past couple of months?
Well, just working, you know, trying to build up my small business, which I have a car detailing business. That's what I've been focusing now that I stopped doing the podcasting. So yeah, life's going. Just trying to figure out the whole small business thing, which is a whole another ordeal. But thankfully, I had a little bit of the background with the podcasting, and there's some things that I could use from that. So
using your podcasting skills.
Yep, exactly.
Of course, your podcast isn't temporarily hold because you're definitely a good one. So hopefully, we'll see you back more regularly.
Exactly.
Soon, especially with the World Cup this year. All right. So Mexico qualified to the World Cup, came in place number two. Some people say they've been struggling these past couple of years, though they qualified. They made it to the Gold Cup finale. They lost against the U.S., which they also lost against the U.S. in the Nations League and also in the qualifier to 2-0. But they made it. Number two, not bad, but this might not be the strongest Mexican team. For some people might say that, but I want to hear Francisco Flores. What were your thoughts over this World Cup qualification run they had?
Well, the run, I think ultimately Mexico got where they wanted to be. Canada obviously putting in a really, really strong performance. So Mexico wanted to be first, but regardless, we're qualified. I think there is something to say about, you know, everybody's saying, oh, this is the best, you know, U.S. team, you know, that has existed, yet they qualified lower than Mexico. And Mexico looked like they, at one point, maybe weren't going to qualify. But I think the team is playing to win. They have a tactic. They have a strategy. They have a game plan. So even though things maybe didn't look the way that Mexico fans wanted, I think Mexico fans wanted to see a lot more goals, a lot more enthusiasm, and a lot more excitement from the team. But it is a process, right? It's a 4-year-long process. Some teams don't even make it, you know, to this stage. Very few are privileged to actually go to the World Cup. So I think, you know, we should at least appreciate that, which, you know, it's going to be hard for Mexico fans. So we demand a lot, especially from our soccer athletes and professionals. But, you know, my personal opinion, it still hasn't changed from couple weeks back when we were talking. I think the past few months. I think last week when I wasn't really feeling, you know, how this Mexico team was playing out, I said that I think they need a different outlook. You know, they need a different manager because Tata Martino, I feel like he's just comfortable in his role right now. You know, from a lot of things that you hear, it's like he doesn't really even spend time with the team. He just kind of shows up, you know, for the matches the day before or whatever, and he's like, all right, let's go. Which, you know, everybody can have their own opinion about that, but I think you already have very limited time with the national team. So it's like, why not go out of your way to, you know, get to know these guys more and maybe, you know, figure out where could they play, you know, where else could I use them? You have such a huge pool of players, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't just rely on what you can see or what your team is saying about, you know, a specific player. Who Mexico should bring in. I don't know, but I think that they need somebody who can light that fire under the players, you know, behind, you know, like make the players look, you know, on the field and play, you know, like and get the results that they want.
Who can it be?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good managers out there. They're just taken, you know, and a lot of the good managers don't. But really,
I wouldn't
want to
do a switch this year. I think it's way too late in the game.
Yeah, now it's too late. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we're already past the qualifying stage, so I think now for sure it was too late. And I, you know, I was, you know, maybe like halfway through the qualifying stage is when I felt like maybe we could, you know, set up a change and it would be beneficial. But I think qualifying second, I think Mexico was, they had their mindset on like, we were going to get third. All right, whatever. We'll just eat, or we'll just take, you know, the heat from the media and, you know, we'll just blow it off, you know, like they always do. So I think they are definitely happy about the second place finish, and we can only hope for the best with Tata Martino, and hopefully he can get us two wins, if not three, out of the group stage.
Martino, he's the Argentinian coach that came from Atlanta. You said there was missing goals, and you also said spark. There is a player named Chicharito that is in Los Angeles, was playing, I think, Fortnite the night of a Mexico yeah. qualifying game. What are your thoughts? Is this a possibility calling him back, that Maradona feel back in 94? Or is it like, no, look, we just got to stick what we've been playing for the past 3-4 years. What are your thoughts over Chicharito? I'm not saying Carlos Vela. I don't think he's interested, but Chicharito.
I mean, just like it's too late to switch managers, I think it's too late at this point to try to bring in Chicharito and work him in, or be like finding a system for him. I mean, he's more or less kind of just the same as Raul Jimenez, or Raul Jimenez is like Chicharito, whatever, you know, however way you want to put it. You know, it wouldn't be too hard, I feel like, for the team to play with Chicharito. But I mean, at this point, there's just so much not hype. What's the word for it? There's just so much commotion, I guess, you know, around like, is he going to get called up? Is he going to do this? And I think in the end, if he does get called up, I don't think he's going to do anything. He might score just as many goals as Raul or less, you know, like I just don't think that the it's almost like, why are we talking about Chicharito when we should be talking about Mexico, you know, as a whole, as a team? Do I want him back? I mean, not necessarily. You know, he's playing in MLS, so it's like he's not stepping up his level. He's, you know, just chilling, making a paycheck in LA, which is fine. You know, he's at the age, you know, where players have to make a decision. And, you know, if you a team is going to give you a lot of money to score goals, then why not take it? You know, even if you're not scoring 30 plus goals per season.
As he should.
Yeah, as he should.
LA Galaxy, of course, favorite. Let's look at the roster. The front side, Corona, Jimenez, Lozano. How do you think they've paired so far? You think it's been a good chemistry line up towards the top?
Yeah, I think they've been doing well. I think there's just a lot of they rely a lot on the individualism of the player, the, you know, being able to take on players. And while all that is good, you know, having a flashy player like Chucky Lozano, who can, you know, take anybody, run past anybody. Tecatito, who, you know, same way, he can run past anybody. He's got a lot of skill moves in his bag. But in the end, it's not really resulting, you know, in assists and goals, you know, like the strategy just kind of seems like we'll just get the ball to Raul Jimenez somehow and he'll score, which I mean, overall, I don't think that's a great strategy. I think we should be looking to find goals from all the players, you know, and use, you know, use height, use speed, use skill moves, use everything to our advantage. I mean, we're already at a disadvantage because, you know, the size of Mexican players is not the same as European. And we're eventually, if we move on to the next stage, you're going to go up against those big European players that, you know, never get tired, go full 90. So I think we just need to be taking advantage of what makes the Mexican player great. And as a whole, the team isn't playing in that way. I don't think we're playing to our strengths. We have a strategy, and it's a strategy to win games and win them close 1-0, be defensive, run them out. Yeah. And so that's not what I want to see. You know, I want to see, pushing forward, high pressure, you know, a lot of, opportunities, you know, and goals, more importantly, you know, 2-3-0, like consistently, you know, not against the weak, opponents that are in our federation, you know, like we need to see some results. So hopefully with these friendlies that are coming up too, which one of them had to get rescheduled because it was going to be against Argentina. I think it's going to be against Uruguay.
And Argentina. And I think USA is having the same opponents as well.
Yeah. So I want to see what the players are really going to bring there. I think that's going to be a good opportunity.
Would you bring the A squad?
Yeah, I think bring the A squad and let's like tell the guys, hey, these two games right here are going to tell me a lot about, you know, how your dedication, you know, like how hard are you going to work, you know, for the team? Yeah, they're friendlies, but I this is me talking like Tata Martino, like, yeah, they're friendlies, but you know, you need to take them like we're like, this is a mini World Cup, you know, or like this is the World Cup.
Yeah, this is not 2019 post World Cup. No, this is pre World Cup. Every game counts. So for Nations League, you think Mexico will take the series?
For Nations League, yeah, I think so. I think we got that one in. Well, actually, I don't know. I'm not going to say we got it in the bank. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But in the end, I think Mexico will pull it off just like they did second place here in the qualifier.
Somehow
it'll work out.
Yeah, before we get into the group, your thoughts on Canada and the U.S.? We were talking offline about how they've caught up to Mexico, you could say. What are your thoughts over the CONCACAF? Is it a little bit more difficult than usual?
I think individually for Canada, yes. I mean, the rest of the teams, Mexico is where they should be, a little bit back, you know, from the perspective of Mexico fans. The U.S. is above where I think they've fulfilled all the hopes and expectations that people had of them, especially the fans. And the Federation, I feel like, should definitely be happy with the way the team has been playing. How
the fans are not content with Berhalter, which I don't understand why. But I mean, being too nitpick.
Yeah, but I think that regardless, whoever's in charge of the U.S. doesn't matter right now, because the players, they just look motivated. You know, exactly. It's not that they aren't playing well. Like, the players are doing really awesome on the field. Like, they're doing everything that they should. They're playing up to, if not the stronger teams are playing down to, you know, their level where they're at now. And so I don't think that they should be. I mean, Berhalter's Berhalter. I would be mad if he was the manager, but the team's getting the results and they're playing a lot better.
You don't need a all-star manager. Like, these players are probably one of the greatest generations, you would think. Obviously, we'll still gotta see what happens in the World Cup, which we'll ask about that group as well. But it is it's a team. It's like the Cowboys. Jerry Jones used to joke about how anyone could have coached this team, but Jimmy Johnson was a legit coach, I thought, you know. Canada, you know, back to where you're saying about, you know, second, third, and first place. Even though Canada came in first, they were in pot three for the World Cup draw, and Mexico and USA were in pot two. So the placements didn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all that work and basically you still end up getting screwed over a little bit, you know. I don't think Canada will have too much to complain about, but I mean, they're going to have to fight their way out of that group regardless. It's not going to be easy for anybody. You can look at, you know, every group and be like, yeah, they should win against that team. But once you're actually there, you never know what that team is going to be able to pull off. So many times, you know, in every World Cup, there's, this upset, you know, so something is bound to happen, and you know, you can't really plan for that. So I think Canada will be happy regardless, and they're going to be at the world stage against Belgium and Croatia and, you know, some of the best teams. And so I think they'll be able to put up a good fight.
I totally agree. Canada definitely which Canada beat both Mexico and USA in Canada. So that tells you a lot right there.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's go into the groups. Mexico is grouped with Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and Poland, Lewandowski. What are your thoughts? Mexico typically gets out of the group. Sometimes, most of the time, it's miraculously they get out of the group. But do you feel the same? Do you feel confident about this group? Do you guys think you'll get out? What are your thoughts and what are you hearing for the Mexican Mexican vineyard?
Well, I think Saudi Arabia, we've got that, even though I think I don't know a lot of, you know, about Saudi Arabia or their country, but I think that it's still going to be a tough game because they will probably have the size over us. But I think it's still it's going to be a manageable game. I think 1-0, 2-1, should be manageable.
You would think more.
Maybe, but you know that.
But without those tactics, it could be a low scoring match.
Exactly. Let's see. Poland.
Lewandowski.
I'm a little worried about Poland. They're definitely going to be super physical, and that's probably going to be the biggest worry. Do you know who the games, like is Saudi Arabia first or Poland?
Yeah, first is Poland.
Okay, so
and let me double check on you on that. It might be Argentina or Saudi Arabia.
Because the only thing I'm worried about Poland is getting beat up. Like Chucky Lozano is for sure going to get beat up in that game.
Oh wow!
And it's going to be a physical battle. And if it's Poland is the first game, yeah, it's going to be all the games after that are going to be super tough.
Yeah, Poland, then Argentina, then Saudi Arabia. So if you guys falter in those first two matches, you got Saudi Arabia to make up for.
Yeah. Which, I mean, now that if you look at it, yeah, in a glass is half, or a glass, yeah, is half full kind of way, I think that's probably the best outcome. But regardless, I think we should be looking for a win in that first game against Poland, and just cross your fingers against Argentina. A tie would be, I think, manageable. They do have a lot of great players. Obviously, Messi's going to be there. And
what do you think about that Argentinian team? Like, they won the Copa America first time in, like, 30 years. Messi kind of not running much in PSG, apparently, but he plays well in Argentina. De Paul, pretty talented. What do you think about this Argentinian team? Do you think they're a force to be reckoned with or maybe a manageable for Mexico?
I wouldn't say a force to be reckoned with. I mean, with Messi, obviously, anything can happen. We've always known that, and the game plan is going to be to get the ball to Messi. I think he's going to be, for that Argentina team, it's going to mean a lot for him to get far, because it's his last World Cup. Like, come on, nobody, he's going to be way too old by the next time. And I mean, some players have already been announcing that they're, you know, not gonna or that it's their last World Cup. Like Di Maria, I'm pretty sure he's brought something up. So that cycle, that generation of players like Messi and everybody that was around him, like they're done after this. So I think for them, it would be, you know, something special, especially for Messi, because he's never won a World Cup. And, you know, some people don't call him the best, or he's not, some people say you can't call him the best unless he's won a World Cup.
Which that criteria is probably changing, I would say.
Yeah.
Because of the club football, it's become more of a bigger stage, it feels like, at times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, World Cups every 4 years, and you can't – so much happens in between those 4 years as far as actual – or the league soccer, you know, and so much history and whatnot is made and memories. And I think because those are more current, people, you know, remember those more. Like, oh, yeah, you remember when – you know, Torres missed that wide open goal or whatever in Champions League, you know, stuff like that.
Which he can always make up like the next year.
Yeah. And World Cup, a lot of, they pick up a lot of fans that are like, oh, the World Cup's going on. Like people who don't really keep up with the soccer that goes in between those 4 years, because soccer keeps going after the World Cup. And this is the Winter World Cup too. So that's going to be a whole nother factor too, which I feel like a lot of people aren't really talking about, because we don't know. We don't know how.
Yeah, because most of the players will be in midseason form. Is that going to be like, we're going to see more escalated players, you know, playing at their 100%?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I think it's probably going to be better, because during the summer, you know, you want to play, but there's also the players that wanted to take a break. Maybe, you know, they've been playing, they already played a full season, and yeah, you might want to, you want to represent your country, but that's not up to you, right? Like, the choice is made by someone else. The players are picked by the coach. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, I do want to go, but also I kind of want a little break, you know, maybe in between there. I don't think a lot of players say that out loud, but you know, a little bit of rest would be nice. So going into the season where it's the winter and you've already been, you know, one game, you know, a couple game weeks into your season, it's just going to be, you know, you're just going to be wearing another colored jersey, you know, and you're just going to be out there working like normal.
Yeah. I do think it'll probably be a big factor for the MLS players, because they finished the whole season. So,
oh, yeah.
But of course, you know, how many players are coming from the MLS?
two, maybe.
Okay. All right. The USA group, what are your thoughts? They're with the first game. We don't know yet. It's either between Wales, Scotland, Ukraine. Second game is England on Black Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Then Iran. What are your thoughts over this group? Do you think this U.S. squad can get out of it? Maybe get first or second?
I think it's manageable for them. Not first, because I think as bad, not bad, but as flaky, I would say, as England can be in World Cups, I think they've got it, which as strong of a group as they have, such a huge pool of English players to choose from.
Made it to the top four in the past two international championships, World Cup and the Euros.
Exactly. So I think they should fight for the second place, and I think it'll be manageable. As far as the playoff in that group, I think Wales is going to make it out of there.
Will Gareth Bale make it out?
Yeah, I think he will. He won't have to retire, you know, because everybody wants to see him at the world stage.
He'll probably retire after that World Cup, I got a feeling.
Oh yeah, he's done. I mean, I don't know if he said it, but because the media always likes to make stuff up about Gareth Bale, that's their favorite thing to do to piss him off. Just make stuff up about Gareth Bale. But from what I've read, that he's pretty much, like, if he doesn't qualify, then he's done with the World Cup.
Yeah, he's done. And done with Real Madrid, maybe go back to playing Swansea or Celtic or some other Welsh club, or maybe Tottenham. Who knows?
Get him as far away from a white jersey as possible. That's all I ask.
Los Blancos.
Well, I guess if it's a Tottenham jersey, I'm not gonna hate that much, but
it won't help them much either. Anyways. Yeah. World Cup 2022, November 21st. Pretty excited. So Mexico will come out second place.
Yes, second place.
Okay, confidently you'll say that, and then maybe go to El Quinto Partido.
crossing my fingers. That's the only thing we as Mexicans can do. Take a shot of tequila right before the game and hope that we make it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see what happens. November 21st, Champions League this past week, Real Madrid, your club, did a fantastic job. They beat Chelsea 3-1. Chelsea's going through a little bit of a skid, I would say. But what were your thoughts over that match? Was that something you are pretty optimistic that they could win the whole thing?
Well, I wasn't able to watch the match live. I was able to watch the restream and
replay on today.
The replay, yep, in Spanish. I really like the enthusiasm on the field and the motivation of all the players, and you know, I think that's something that we've been lacking a lot, and seeing Modric on the field, you know, pushing everybody, you know, getting everybody up from when they go down to
old man Modric.
Old man Modric, just being the coach on there on the field, telling players what to do. I mean, I think there was at some point Ancelotti was saying something and Modric was saying another thing, but the team was doing what Modric was saying.
Wow, he pulled up Zidane 2006.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Modric has been there since Ancelotti was there, won Champions League with him. And so I think the players are just so confident in the manager now. And it's truly special to see something like that when you see it, like, coming together. Because for me, I think all the pieces right now are lining up. You know, the moon and the stars are all lining up. And I'm smelling it, you know. I'm smelling that Champions League trophy. So after that Chelsea game, I was super pumped.
In Stamford Bridge. This was not in Santiago de Bernabéu.
Away at the bridge, felt really good. Those goals from Benzema were beautiful, the headers. And, you know, even at the end, Mendy gave us that goal. Goalies just love to give Real Madrid free goals for some reason.
A little freebie.
Another freebie from a goalie. So of course we got to take it, you know, and for the hat trick, I mean, that just made it even more like rubbing the salt into the wound. It truly looked like Chelsea was just like, what else can we do wrong? Like, nothing was working out for them. They did get a goal past us, which, you know, with Kai Havertz, and the way that he's playing, I think he was probably the most dangerous player on the field and the player that we needed to watch. And
was 2-1 when he scored. So
yeah,
could have been closer.
And Militao and Alaba were having the time of their life trying to defend him. Because there's still other players, you know, you got to watch as well. Not just one, like Pulisic and Mount. Pulisic a little asleep in this game, unlike last time when we played Chelsea, which I still, you know, I still have nightmares and, you know, PTSD from that game. I still can't believe that happened. But this is payback, and it feels good to be on the winning end of it.
There you go. If Real Madrid wins that round, which they should, because they go back to Madrid, they're going to face the winner of Man City and Atletico Madrid, who pull a full park the bus, 10, you know, defenders. That didn't help. De Bruyne had a goal. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, in the other side, Liverpool, Benfica 3-1. Liverpool looks like it's strong. Villarreal 1-0 against Bayern. Is Villarreal something to keep an eye on, or what are your thoughts?
I mean, not really, but I because I think Bayern is going to come back and just completely smoke them in the second game, like 5-6 goals.
You would think,
but I mean, the way that if you watch the whole game, I mean, Villarreal were looking dangerous, which you don't really say that, and maybe that was like the plan of attack, you know, to catch Bayern off guard because they think we're gonna play this way. So, and it totally worked. I think from the very get go, from the very beginning of the game, they were there trying to score. I mean, the first goal came in the first 8 minute, and I think there was another goal that was disallowed, right? Oh, it was offsides.
The old VAR.
Yeah, which he had a pretty nice goal too. But yeah, it was actually a really good game to watch. I would recommend people
watch the second leg,
but we'll watch the replay of this game, because if you want to figure out how to beat Bayern, Villarreal just showed the world how to do it.
Yeah, and they have Unai Emery. So
this Unai guy, Emery, the mastermind, somehow.
He is. He's a big dog. I mean, he's coaching big dog team, so maybe things are coming into fruition this time around. So, all right, perfect. Champions League still pending. Let's go into predictions, Francisco, for this weekend. Today, Newcastle at Wolves. Who you got?
Newcastle at Wolves. Ooh, that's going to be, you know, Wolves are always trying to hold off 0-0 for as long as possible. They want to get one goal past, you know, their opponents. But I think this one's going to be a high scorer. I'm going to say 3-2 Wolves.
3-2 Wolves. Is there a Mexican player that plays there?
In Wolves?
Yeah.
Raul.
Raul Jimenez.
Yep.
The one and only. All right. The
one and only.
Man United at Everton. Everton is facing relegation battle. They lost against Burnley. Will they come back and beat Ronaldo's Man United?
Everton. Nope. No way. As bad as Man United have been playing as well, which this game might be just a free-for-all. Who knows what the hell is going to happen in this game? Because Man U has not been playing well, and the frustration is, I think, coming out on the field, the fact that they're not playing well, and it doesn't look good on Man United, I'm going to say, because they spend a lot of money, they have Ronaldo, and they're not getting wins, so I think the media is really, like, on their back, and from what I've seen, when the media is on the back of Man United, so negatively, like they if it gets to their head, and I think they start playing into, you know, what the media wants, and Man United just starts going down. But I think they just can't wait for the season to be over and for next year to start getting.
They got nothing to compete for this season. Only top four.
Exactly. That's it. Who knows? Ronaldo might not even be there next season.
He actually is interested to coming back, I heard. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Chelsea adds Southampton.
Chelsea. I think Chelsea's but the results that they don't want are going to continue. So I'm going to go with a draw in this one.
A draw. Okay, finally. Some people don't call draws anymore. In Premier League, a lot of draws. And on Sunday, the biggest match of the season. This could capitalize the season. This could tell who is the winning earner of the Premier League. Liverpool and Man City. Francisco, give us a fair, unbiased prediction.
Fair, unbiased. You know, because I love Klopp and I love Guardiola.
So there you go.
Well, Man City have 73, Liverpool 72. So there's a 1-point gap. The perfect chance in this, I think it's like a final, I guess you could say.
Yeah, this is probably Liverpool's last opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's their last opportunity because, I mean, there's no losing in sight for either of those teams. As far as the rest of the matches, because we're just so close to the end of this, 8 games left after this one, it'll be 7, which it's still, you know, 20 points, which, you know, it's, you can't, there's still teams that are mathematically in it, even though it looks like it's a stretch. But I don't think there's no one on Man City Liverpool's level right now, as far as their skill and how they're playing. It's going to be a great game. It's still a little tough to predict because, you know, they go back and forth as far as the managers, Guardiola and Klopp. But I think there's just no stopping Man City. I think they've got the season again.
No.
I'm going to go with a 1-0. It's going to be a close 1-0. Nail biter. You got to be watching this whole game from beginning to end. You can't be jumping into the second half of this one. You got to watch from the beginning.
It's a 1-0 Man City?
Yep.
Boring prediction.
What is your prediction?
Well, my prediction is Liverpool.
Not biased. Not biased.
No, it's going to be Liverpool. They're on a roll. I mean, hey, beating Benfica may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but they have momentum and rhythm going on. And with Luis Diaz, have you seen him play?
Probably
one of the best winter signings of all time, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was a great signing. And it also just makes them – they're able to switch their front three now even more. You know, Jota, Salah, Firmino, Diaz, Mane. Like, you know, with Luis Diaz, Mane, and Mo, they could play up top. They could be strikers. So that just adds so much, you know, variability. And it could bring a lot of a game plan – to allow for confusion for the other team, which, you know, I think that's something that Klopp has definitely been leaning on. But no, I could definitely see, you know, what you're saying, that they're on a roll.
Yeah. Man City is not prepared for Luis Diaz. I think that addition is going to screw them a bit.
That's true. I think with City, especially right now with their strikerless, which they've been doing that, you know, before playing Barcelona without a striker and scoring a lot of goals. So,
yeah,
you know, you can't really hate on them for that. Because they're top of the league and somehow, you know, still getting the results, even though they don't really want to use a striker, even though they have one. But if I was Guardiola, I would want to use Jesus anyways. So
get rid of Jesus.
Okay, give me another striker this summer.
Oh yeah, it could be Kane, or I've been hearing Haaland. I've been hearing that's it. There's a third one out there. I can't remember his name.
Well, Harry Kane already, he pretty much was going to sign, but yeah, I guess the price didn't match what Daniel Levy wanted for him.
Yeah, we'll see with that Tottenham team. I don't think Conte, I think going there, you just can't do much there. Like, the owner's not going to spend money. I mean, it's proof in concept. But anyways, that is our soccer episode number 2 of the week. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about where is a good place to eat Mexican food in Oregon?
Well, if you do want to DM me or something, you can reach me on my Twitter at FranciscoBCP. That's mainly what I use as far as social media and the soccer stuff. I do have other social media, but Twitter works the best. It goes straight to my phone. You know, you could BS, talk smack to me about Ronaldo, Real Madrid, Mexico, whatever. U.S. fans, I could take it all.
Real quick, is Benzema going to win the Ballon d'Or?
Is he?
Or he
probably
just
not. Do I want him to? Yes. But the voting is so rigged. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they just give it to Messi again.
Or Ronaldo, might as well. Put him in the
spot. Get a joint trophy. They give it to both.
Like, one thing I have to say about Benzema, he is more than a striker. He is a game changer midfielder, you can say sometimes, versus a Lewandowski. He's just a striker. You know, give him the ball, he taps it in. But Benzema changes the game.
Yeah. He can distribute, pass the ball to his teammates, uses his team, and uses the.
Exactly. He's a leader. And it feels like his best days are like right now compared to his 20s.
Oh, yeah. Right. Which is. Kind of like the same thing Ronaldo was doing, you know, as he was getting older. Eventually, you know, they plateau and they get to a point, right? Like now. But
yeah, exactly. But
you do get a little bit better when as you age.
Gets better through wine. Age. So exactly. well, Kobe Bryant wanted to do that, but then eventually helped worked out for him. He worked, you know, helped out in the middle. But anyways, that's a basketball.
That's another story.
That's another story. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net website, the Sportscast One on Twitter. We'll be actually the NBA play-in begins next week. Your Blazers are out. My Heat won number one in the Eastern Championship, Eastern Conference. So looking forward to that. This weekend, Liverpool versus Man City, we'll be live tweeting that. Wondering what a young leg is betting on. I have to ask him, who is he favoring? And then, of course, we got, I think that's it, basketball, soccer, NFL draft in a few weeks. So things are kind of going together. Nothing this summer. Just the friendlies in June, and that's it. So it's going to be
a boring summer. And get ready for the winter because everything is going to get stacked up.
NFL and World Cup. I'm really interested in how that thing collides.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It's just going to be FIFA handing it off to the NFL. That's what's going to be.
Exactly.
Here you go. Well, people need to watch something now.
Well, Francisco, great to hear you again. Hope to see you soon again.
Yep. Let me know when you want me to, you know, talk some more soccer and we can figure something out. I know my availability isn't the best, but
hey,
we worked it out today.
Exactly. You're starting your business. I commend you. Like, the first couple of years, your schedule is like 24/7 all year long is what you got to do. And then after the 2-year mark, they say, or maybe a little bit more, it's when you start doing podcasts. So, okay. Right. Anyways, thanks for coming on the Sportscast. And this, what's your update?